I couldn't even look at my notes this morning. If y'all remember last week, I didn't even get to my notes. And this morning, I tried to look at them and everything, but it's like, no, we can't go there. So I feel like I'm going to have to tell y'all a lot of how we got where we are today. Why that is, I don't know. Most of this stuff, we learned the hard way. You know, wasn't always right thing that we did. But when we did do wrong or mess up or whatever, we tried to learn from that mistake and make sure we didn't miss God the next time and all of that. Because I don't know anybody that can just tell you 7 steps to becoming a leader. Now, there may be 7 steps that can help you. Yeah, number one is obedience to God, you know. Number two, there's going to be times you're going to have to sacrifice. Number three, the Bible says lay down, take up your cross and follow him. That means a lot of different things at a lot of different times, you know. So there's not just something that you can say 7 steps to becoming a leader or 7 steps to getting in all that God's created you to be and to do. That's impossible because there's more steps in a person's life to get there than just 7. I mean, it's every day that you wake up. Y'all not saying that word. It's every day we wake up. Every day we're supposed to access the grace by faith to do all that we're supposed to do, obey him in everything we're supposed to obey for this day, right? The just shall live how? By faith. Not just use faith when we want a car or a new house or a man or a woman or something like that. We're supposed to live by. And the thing about it is, we can't live the Christian life and fulfill all that God's called us to do without his grace. But now we have it, but we have to access the grace by faith. If you are a husband, you have the grace to be a husband. But it's going to take you accessing that grace by your faith. Just like Monty, y'all heard his testimony, you know, so I don't think I'm telling them anything they don't know. He had a hard time feeling that he's the one responsible for taking care of his family. Now, to a certain degree, that's right. A man should get up and he should go to work. The Bible says a man don't work, he don't eat, right? Everybody's supposed to have a job. But he had a wrong sense of his job to take care of his family. So when he began to learn and grow and develop, he began to, by faith, access grace to take care of his family. It's not Monty the flesh man's his job to take care of his family. That's what the world does. In the kingdom, we don't do that. In the kingdom, everything we do is supposed to be by the grace of God. You know, I think sometimes we don't use grace because we don't know exactly what grace is. Most time, a lot of people just think it's unmerited favor or undeserved favor, and it is. But another definition, when you look up the word grace in the Strong's Concordance, it says divine influence upon the heart. That is exactly what I'm doing right at this minute. I had no idea how I was going to start the service this morning. But I'm not seeming to have a problem talking, right? But when I don't access that grace to stand in my place here, y'all can tell. I can tell. It's hard. I'm looking for every word. I'm trying to remember what I studied. But when by faith I'm accessing the grace to be a teacher and operate in the office of a teacher, it flows. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I put this up here. Let's see which piece I can take out. Is this a puzzle? Come on, that ain't everybody. Scotty, is this a puzzle?
Yes.
One piece. This is not a puzzle. Right? Is this a puzzle?
No.
Two
pieces.
We'll take you both hands to do this. That's the best thing to hold it. Is this a puzzle?
No.
It's two pieces, right? They're connected together, but does that make the puzzle?
No.
That is me and you. We are, per se, God's puzzle. Peace. But when we come together, we make up a puzzle. Now, is this a puzzle?
Yes.
There's nothing missing there, right? All the pieces are in its proper place. If I took this little piece down here and I tried to make it fit right here, is it ever going to work?
No.
And what's going to happen? It can never be the puzzle that the creator that created this puzzle made for it to be. Therefore, you would never see the beautiful picture that the creator of that puzzle with all them different pieces wanted you to see. That is the body. Right? Let's look over it. I think I'm wanting to go to 1 Corinthians 12. The body, listen, let me say this while we're turning over there. This, me and you are a piece. I'm a puzzle piece, or we refer it to scripture. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 12, I am a member in the body, right? I'm a member of the body, just like my finger is not my body, but my finger is a member of the body. Well, then you have what we call the church. And I know theologically it is not correct for you to say you're going to church and be thinking this building. That's not theologically correct. Why? Because this building is only the place where God has chosen for the church, the assembly, which is the church, refers to assembly, to meet together. So we have to get that kind of thinking out. Why? Because it's wrong. Then you've got people that, as I pulled out one piece, and the reason why I asked you, is this a puzzle? Is because you've got people out here that have been born again, but they have wrong doctrine and things about what the church is, about what the body is and all that, and they believe they are the church. It's impossible. You can search the scriptures front to back. That's impossible for one person to be a church.
Right.
So when you have that wrong thinking, it causes you to have wrong actions.
Right?
So therefore, you get in here. If all these pieces wasn't here, we could never see the picture. God has a place for everybody to be. Now, we are an assembly. We are a church. But what you have to remember, and I'm talking about the people, not the building, there's a whole nother where this whole church puzzle piece fits into out here, the worldwide church. But see, it's all connected. Every piece in this is connected. Where you have one assembly here, you have another assembly over there, you have another assembly over there across from the red light and all of that. It takes all of us together, but then God will, like there's another piece, there's another puzzle back there, but none of the pieces fit in this one.
Right.
Why? Because the creator that created this puzzle has all the pieces right here. But he has every one of them in their proper place. Now, let's get to 1 Corinthians, what I tell y'all, 12?
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. Ain't that the one talking about the body? Let me get glasses on where I see it here. Now, the first part of this chapter, he's talking about spiritual gifts. He talks about how there's diversities in the gifts. You may see somebody that has a, say somebody has a gift of healing. They may operate that gift of healing totally different than somebody else that has the same gift. Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? There's diversities in the gifts. Then there may be diversities the way that the gifts are used. Then he starts talking about the body over here. verse 12. It says, for as the body is one. Now, when he says this, he's talking about there's one body, there's one church. He's talking about worldwide, everybody on this planet that is in the body. He's not just, but then he also refers to our body here. See, our body here is supposed to have pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, fivefold ministry. We don't have that yet. So therefore, at different times, God will bring somebody from outside, you know, just like Rhonda and evangelist, you know, I mean, you can purely see the gifts there that he operates in that is true, goes with an evangelist. So God will bring them in at different times, whatever that we need at different times. Because, I mean, y'all don't need to just hear us all the time. That's why we encourage y'all at home, listen to other preachers, listen to other ministers. Why? Because I'm a teacher. That's what I do. Most of the time you'll get knowledge or revelation or something like that But then there you got Pastor Scotty looks over y'all and feeds y'all and all that stuff. And most of the time, the different gift that's in him, where most of the time mine will teach you something, his will inspire you to do something,
right,
or encourage you in a certain way or whatever. Then you got other ministers, the gifts that they have, they'll give something else to you. I mean, it's like not eating spinach every day, three times a day. I mean, as you know, spinach is good, very good for you. But how many knows you need more than spinach three times a day, every day, because you're going to be malnourished in other vitamins and minerals that you needed, right? So therefore, in this body, he has things that he wants. He wants fivefold ministry in this body. He wants ministry of helps in this body. Different things. Let's read this before I get too far ahead of myself. He says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member.
Amen.
Remember the story about the puzzle we just looked at. We have to make sure we get this down right. And I'm not just talking to y'all. You got to remember we're on the internet, Facebook, all that other stuff and whatever. Because if we don't get this right, then we're going to be doing wrong. See, if I believe wrong, I do wrong. If I believe right, then I have right actions. He says there, for the body is not one member, but many. Blake, would you come up here for a minute, please? You said you didn't bother your people looking at him. I want somebody, no, you gotta come on up here and turn around. I told you they're gonna look at you. Now put your hands down where they can see you. Now look at Blake. He is. Wouldn't he look real funny if he had one eye right on the top of his forehead? Y'all not saying nothing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he look funny if his nose was on the back of his head?
Yeah.
It wouldn't function right. See, God made this body. When you read the word, God talks about the church and his people, the body, and he refers it to a physical body, just like what you're looking at right here. Why is Blake's ears where they are? That's where God wanted them. When somebody's born with their ears not in the place that Blake's is right now, what do we call that? An abnormality or a deformity? Why? Because it's not supposed to be that way. Blake, you gotta look down now, not me. See, you understand now, you're gonna get some of what we get standing up here. You know, everything in his body has a purpose.
Right.
Every person, according to the scripture, in the body of Christ has a purpose. I don't care. Listen, right in here somewhere, he's got a liver. You can't see that liver. But he ain't gonna make it. This whole thing ain't gonna make it without that liver that you don't see.
Right.
We have people that God has in the body, you don't see all the things that they do.
Right.
They work a lot behind the scenes. But without them, there's not going to be a functioning properly of the body. I mean, he's got a heart. Without that heart, it's supposed to be somewhere right in here, isn't it? He's got a heart. You can't see the heart. But without that heart, there is no body. But notice how all these things that you can say, ooh, he's got pretty brown eyes. Why? That's what gets seen. There are those of us that we're set in the body where God has placed us, and we get seen a lot. But then there's others of us that we're in here. I mean, just like you see his skin, but you don't see the blood that's under his skin. But without that blood and those blood vessels and all those veins and what do you call them, capillaries and the white ones and the red ones, I mean, just look at it. God is amazing.
Yes.
Absolutely amazing. And he takes his word, and that is exactly, when you look at Blake, you are seeing a picture of the body of Christ. Thank you. You did a good job, didn't you? Now, where do we get to? We'll just start at 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is that true?
No.
Do you know the Bible says not to compare ourselves among ourselves? Yeah, why? Because you're not me and I'm not you. I should be thankful for the gift that you have and glorify God in the gift that you have and all of that stuff, but not feel less than because my gift is not your gift, or vice versa. You see what I'm saying? Why? Because every one of us has a part to play in the body, just like Blake's body that we was looking at. He says here, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not the body? What if we was one big eye? That's all we was one giant eyeball, 200 pounds of eyeball. Yeah. We couldn't eat. We couldn't drink. All we could do is see. We're going to die. We can't move. Go on, and he says, verse 17, if the whole body, oh, there it is. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? You wouldn't have no hearing. Just like the body that's here, all these things he's talking about here, God intends for us to have them here. And everybody is something. I don't know what you are. You know, I can see some things in some people, but the fullness of what and who you are, I don't know. Most of the time you don't either. It says, what would the hearing be? Verse 18. It says, but now hath God set the members. We got to get this. Who set the members?
God.
Who determined where Blake's eye was going to be?
God.
Who determined where his liver was going to be?
God.
If his liver was on top of his head, he wouldn't make it. That's exactly the way it is in the body of Christ. We have people. Oh, here we go. We have. God has people. They're born again. Yes. They go from this church 6 months, to that church for 3 months, to that church for 2 months, back to that church for 3 weeks, back over here. What does this say? That would be like Blake's nose moving to the top of his head, to behind his rear, to under his feet. Y'all ain't saying nothing.
Come on.
Is that not what it would be like?
Yeah.
Why? Because it says God set the members as it pleased him. Blake's ears are right there where they are. God wanted them there. Why? Because that's the best place for them to be, for him to hear. His, our eyes are where they are because they are the best place that they are for us to see. And God is so good, he gave us two of them. You can even lose one and still function. You can lose an ear and still function. There's parts of the body of Christ that he gives us more than just one in a certain assembly or even worldwide. You understand what I'm telling you? But notice it says here, it says God set the members, verse 18, but now God has set the members, every one of them in the body. Every one of them. Every toenail, every toe, every heart, every capillary, every vein. Just amazing. That's where God put it. Why? That's the place that you are going to be in the best health that you can be when everything is functioning properly as it's supposed to. Right? You get something go wrong with your heart, well, you better get that fixed. Right? If I stomp my toe, my whole body feels it. I hurt all over. He says here, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, how? As it has pleased him. I don't get to decide where I go to church.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shannon. I don't get to decide where I go to church. Right. Let me ask you, do you really think I want to go to church here? Do you really think I wanted to leave my church and come down here? No, I sure did not. But there come a day that God said, gotta go. You got people, they're called to some of that, they're called to leave, but they get out of time. Do you understand? It's not like God is sitting up there and he said, okay, Scotty and Teresa, I'm going to have you here at this spot for 8 years, and then I'm going to put you out here. No. Me and Scotty determined that. I tell you how I know. I could have sat there 8 years, heard the word, mentally agreed with the word while I'm sitting there and walk out that door and do not one thing that they say.
Right.
You think I'm going to be ready for this place in 8 years if I do that?
No.
No.
Right.
Me and him, from the time that we got saved, except for that time that we backslid for just a little while, have endeavored to serve the Lord with all of our heart. Have we been perfect at it? No. There's even been times that I've been rebellious, you know, got mad at God, things happened, a lot of different things. So I know I could have been quicker than what I was. That was determined by me. Now, the plan of God was to come down here. But do you understand I got to work with him? Because when I get down here, I can help y'all or I can hurt y'all.
Yeah. Come on.
And he's not intending anybody to be hurt. He's intending all of us to be helped and grow together. So therefore, I need to be in the place. That's how come you'll hear people that come in here, and you've heard the testimony of most everybody that's come in here or whatever that has stayed, you know. There was just something when we walked in that place. Or we just felt love when we walked in that place. Or we just felt peace when we walked in that place. Do you understand everybody that walks through those doors, they don't feel that?
Yeah.
Right.
Why? It's not their place. But when you walk through those doors, and it may take you more than one service, you know, to get this figured out. Especially if you haven't been serving God for very long or whatever. But wherever your place is, whatever you're supposed to be doing, there's going to be some kind of a witness on the inside of you. Why? The Holy Ghost lives in you. So it's going to feel good to me, and it's going to feel good to him. That's two witnesses.
Amen.
Just like the dinner we was going to have, the Thanksgiving dinner, we're not going to have it now. You know why? Because me and him, yay, we always do that. That's what we do. Except the last 2 years, we didn't get to. He had a heart attack, and then last year, COVID, you know. So for 2 years, we hadn't got to or whatever. So we announced it Wednesday night. You know, we had actually done pray. But when he announced it and started thinking about it, there's something right here. It's just, I can't explain it. Now, my head can't figure this out. Why? I can't see past the next 5 minutes unless he shows me something. And it's not my job to know. Just do what he says, and I'll get where he wants me to get. Right? So I have to get in my place. And when you get in your place, there's going to be grace for your place. There's not one person in the body of Christ that is not going to have to use the grace of God to fulfill the ministry that God has in their life. And when I say ministry, I'm not just talking about fivefold ministry as Ephesians 4. There's ministry of helps, there's mothers, there's fathers. I needed the grace of God to be a mother if I'm going to be a good one. And it took me a long time to access that grace, and thank God Travis was little during much of the abuse that he don't remember it. Now, he remembers me grabbing his neck, putting his head in the floor, because he can't seem to find what I told him down there in the floor, you know, so he uses that one on me. Anyway, you know, but I had to grow and develop into that place. Leaders are not born leaders. That might be the plan of God. Now listen, and when I say leaders, don't let your brain go off onto behind the pulpit or something like that. You can be a leader in your community. Somebody's watching you somewhere. Whether it's just your kids, where are you leading your kids to, and different things like that. But I have to find my proper place in the body. Then once I find my proper place, I need to, by faith, access the grace that is there for me to fulfill my place in that body. Every one of y'all have one. That's one reason why I shouldn't just stand up and just blurt out anything that comes to my mind at the time. Why? I ain't using no faith, number one. I ain't accessing no grace, number two. And therefore, it's not going to be helpful to the body. Some people should just sit down and shut up, because actually some things that's been... Now, I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about 20 years here. Things that has been got up and said that should have never got up and been said. And the Bible says we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our testimony. What is that? Just when God gave you a new car or gave you a parking space in the front? No. My entire life is supposed to be a testimony. My entire life is supposed to be a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in me, through me, and for me. Every bit of that. Now, so I need to find my place, because place has grace. Listen, we talked a little bit when I first started this. We went over there to 1 Corinthians, I think, 11. And it talked about how God's structure of authority is. God made man first. Therefore, he has first place. I'm talking about in a marriage. I don't have the first place. Why? I was not made for him. I mean, he was not made for me. According to scripture, I was made for him. Therefore, I don't carry the authority he carries. Oh, y'all not saying nothing. Y'all don't realize what's going on out here in culture right now? All this trying to take the men out of their proper place. It's called a Jezebel spirit. And it's going on in the world, and sad to say, it's going on in some churches too.
Right.
Because he was created first, therefore his place gives him the authority. That's why he's considered to be head. Is it because he's smarter? No, some men's dumb as dirt. Now, I'm just telling you the facts. Don't mean they can't change. Don't mean they can't grow. But it's not because they're smarter, better than, or nothing. It's because it's place. Therefore, when the man steps up into his proper place and begins to, by faith, access that grace to help him be a responsible man. Who was it? Joshua said, me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yes.
Ain't that Joshua?
Yes, it is.
Well, he stood up in his proper place and he said what his house is going to do. I don't see where his kids come and said, I don't think I'm going to go today.
Right?
But whenever you get something out of its place, there's not going to be the authority there that there should be. That's how come men's place over the head of the family. And not to say you can't listen to your wife. Sometimes God uses wives, you know, different things like that. But my reason for telling you that is because your place is going to give you, help you access grace. Grace is going to be there for the place. Then authority is going to be there for place.
Amen.
I'll tell you a story. Now, excuse me, I told y'all a little bit. I'm going to get a drink. Talk it too fast. Now, I told y'all a little bit last week, I think it was, about some of the prophecies that come forth on especially Scotty. And the one I think we left off with was the one where there was this prophet named Roy Rapp. He came to our church, first time we'd ever seen him, heard him or anything. And he's preaching, and all of a sudden he stops and he walks over to Scotty. Now, at this time, Scotty, he's working down at J&H. We hadn't been Christians very long at all. But we love the Lord, and we don't really know nothing yet. You know, so, we're reading the Bible. I'm reading 10, 15 chapters of the Bible a day. He goes to work. He carries a little New Testament in his pocket of his shirt that when on lunch break, he sits there and he reads the Bible, you know. And at this time, he is getting persecution left and right. He's getting it at work. He's getting it out of me when he comes home. He gets it out of his mama. She's standing in the window at different times calling him a false prophet. It's like hell, seems like, at this time. Anyway, he walks over there to Scotty, and he begins to prophesy to him, and he begins to tell him. He said, I see you, he said, as a state. He said, and you're being beat down, and beat down, and beat down. He said, and there is a lifeline that comes from you that holds up the church. He said, I've never seen it that way before. And we don't have a clue, dude, what in the world this man's talking about, other than we can agree, or he can agree with the beat down part. Why? He's the one enduring it. Now, see, this is a reason why I told you can't just take 7 steps to becoming a leader. Do you realize that beat down process that God allowed? Because the Bible says adversity is a chisel in the hand of God, but don't none of us want it or like it most of the time. But it is that adversity and that persecution that he is enduring at this time, staying in the right spirit when all this stuff is happening. And when they spit on him, when they call him names and different stuff like that, he's not retaliating. Because I can tell you, it would have not have took that much before he got saved. Just look at him wrong. He's like a chihuahua. Y'all ever seen one of them? They'll jump on a great name and don't got no problem doing it. Or the great name one bite could take the whole chihuahua. Well, that's kind of how he was. He's a little guy, but he's like a little chihuahua. But at this time, see, the things that is in my life, they're opportunities for me to grow.
Right.
Travis, something happened with Travis yesterday that he was talking about, cricket, straight talk, all this stuff, you know, and he's telling me about it and everything. And I looked at him, I told him, I said, it's called growing pains. Did y'all ever have any of those when you was a teenager? Especially girls, a lot of time they begin to hurt in the top part and other places. Why? Because it's growing pains. Well, most of us, we don't want a persecution. We think persecution is because our neighbor called us something, please. We don't suffer much persecution here in the United States. We've been getting a lot more of it lately, you know, the last few years or whatever, but not compared to what some of them are suffering.
Right.
But see, the Bible says Jesus learned obedience through the things that he what?
Suffered.
He said, turn the other cheek. Gee, I don't ever want to turn the other cheek. You slapped me one time and that's it. Help me, Jesus, you know. But see, now that's my thing. Where somebody else, maybe they feel sorry for themselves and they just cry all the time. They're under the bed. How many knows both of those are emotionally moved? Anger is an emotion. I'm supposed to be able to harness that thing, control it. It's good if it's in the right way. Stubbornness is good if it's toward the right way. Stubbornness toward the devil, that's a wonderful thing to have. Anyway, getting off my story here, we didn't have a clue what that meant until years, I don't know, maybe 6 years later. I don't know, it could be more than that we got sent down here. And this down here was the prophecy of what he said. Now, most of y'all have heard the story at least a little bit. So we come down here. God tells him to start a church. First he started a Bible study. Then he tells him, start a church. He gets out there to the stop sign. Okay, God, tell me where. And God says, you, what you got? Oh, good Lord. Whew.
It was rough.
Ain't even no water meter here, Dave. If you got to go to the bathroom at Bible study, you got to go all the way to Wetoto.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. There's no floor back here. I think a quarter of a floor or something. There's no ceiling back here, you know. Back there, that front wall wasn't there. All of that front wall wasn't there when we first got this building and all this kinds of stuff. But do you wonder, and see, that's, at the time, Scotty got upset with Brother Brad and Faith Restoration. Y'all heard the story. Because he felt overwhelmed of God saying, use what you got. That's usually the number one thing God tells everybody. Start where you are, use what you got. He'll usually start talking to you about saving money and your spending habits when you ain't got a dime.
Yeah.
I told Scotty the other day, I said I should have got a clue. Because there'd be different times God would deal with us to start saving money. And we didn't have none. And I'm like, what in the world? I ain't got nothing to save. How can I save any? But I should have got a clue, Shannon, that if he's talking to me about saving money, money's coming. But I didn't. Not for years. But see, when God said, start down here, this building has been a beat-down process. Y'all ain't saying that. Why? I already have one place I have to take care of. Then you've got to do the best you can at remodeling every bit of this. And you get none of the guy says, you don't borrow no money either. Woo! Everything you do on this building, you're going to do it by faith. And we even owed on the building at the time. So we had to use faith to make the payments on the building. The first light bill here at this church was $54.17. And when I opened that light bill and I seen that light bill and it said 54:17, you know the first thing come to my mind? Isaiah 54:17, y'all know what it says? No weapon formed against you will prosper.
Amen.
Amen. I'm like, okay, y'all. And we're still in the process of the building. Do you understand you're God's building?
Right.
Yeah. You're God's building. And everything, good and bad, that comes into our life, and we can even create some for ourselves.
Yeah.
But everything that comes into your life, that comes into your arena, is material, building material, if you'll let it be. Sad to say, most people won't let it be. They can't even get in one church and stay there. But you know what? They'll stand before God one day, and God will play the tape. And then he'll play the tape of everything he wanted for you. Well, y'all heard the story. But anyway, Scotty goes over to the bank. We finally, God tells him to start a church. I think we have something like $300 or something because he would evangelize, you know, and we saved that money and everything. That's about what we had when we started. So he goes over there to open up a bank account, Scotty Weston, DBA, Faithway Christian Center. And they tell him, we need some members of your congregation to come over here and be on this bank account too. We can't, you know, we don't need to just put this in just your name. He said, I don't have no members. You talk about pioneering. Now, Sandy had been coming to the Bible study, but we didn't know that she was going to come and be a member here at that time. My mama didn't even serve God at that time. Didn't know nobody was going to come. Hadn't even thought ahead that far about that. Why am I mama telling you this? Because everybody's going to go the same route. Maybe a different situation, maybe a different circumstance, but everything in everybody's life is building material to get you built to the place God wants you to be. He goes over there and he tells them, and they say, well, we got to have some members from your congregation. He said, I don't have a congregation. She said, well, you know, you got to have a congregation. Listen, most people are not used to seeing that. A lot of churches and pastors get hired and fired. Yeah. You preach on tithing, you're gone. We don't like that. Right. Woo! You get on that mask mandate and anything else, you know, about all that COVID, woo, you're gone. See, they can't do that here.
Amen.
You understand that's one reason why people come and go here so much? And I have noticed something about God. If there's something that irritates you, that God wants out, a lot of times I can tell you what Scotty's going to get on. I've seen it for years by who's in the service. There are certain people in this service, I'm telling you, he gets on COVID like a mad dog. Y'all ain't noticed it?
Yeah.
I can tell you the ones that's always here when that happens. Why? They got some kind of problem. It's not COVID. But they got some kind of problem. And God wants it out, and they ain't listening at home, so then God has to bring it forth. See, it don't always have to be something bad, necessarily, that I'm cussing, committing adultery, or anything like that. There, do you understand it can be motives? God deals with motives. God deals with attitudes. He deals with everything. And I can tell you just as well, there's another thing that he'll get on like a mad dog, if y'all ain't noticed, a certain person comes to church here and he's on church. Church, go to church, go to church, go to church, go to church. I'm like, ah, go to church. I'm getting tired of hearing that. Y'all get on in here faithful or just get out. I'm getting tired of hearing it. Why? God's faithful. And he'll keep on and on and on. So either you get in with your heart, or you're going to get out. I've seen it for 20 years, man. Anyway, he tells me he ain't got no congregation and all that. And he said, what's that for anyway? Why you got to have members of congregation, you know, over here on this bank? Because we're green as you can be. We don't know nothing about nothing. We're just doing our best to follow God as we feel that he's leading us. You know, and our pastor, he told him about it, and he's backing us up. You know, they're with us, for us, and all that. Agree that, I mean, we didn't cause no church split when we left or nothing like that. You got a lot of that today. But anyway, he said, what's that for anyway? I said, well, you know, in case they think you're not doing right with the money, the bank account or whatever, you know, they can take over the bank account. They have a say. He says, oh, no. Mm-mm. He said, something like that started happening. He said, I'd just get me a new congregation. I'm telling you honest God's truth what he told them over at the bank. See, we don't know. Shannon, we've not been taught all this doctrinal stuff. You got to have 15 deacons over here, and you got to have 25 board members that tell you what to do over here. We don't know this stuff. And God didn't want us set up that way. Case you ain't noticed, we don't have no deacons. Deacons is of the Lord. It's in the Bible. But he just ain't. Maybe y'all ain't grown enough you can be a deacon. I don't know.
Come on.
Or maybe he don't want none here. I don't know. We tried setting up a board before. It don't work here. Remember the prophecy of what I said. Scotty is the stake that is being beat down, and he is a lifeline coming from him that holds up the church. Now, he ain't Jesus. I'm not saying that. But you can't get no higher here than him. Unless, because we have set it up this way, you appeal to Brother Brad. But now you go to Brother Brad, you better have your ducks in a row. He's a very humble, very gentle man. But he'll tell you the truth. And we set it up that way because leaders have to be accountable. It's not just church members are supposed to be accountable. And a lot of times what we have that tries to go on here that is, I'm telling you, it's fixing to tighten up around here, is members don't want to be accountable, and it's the leaders having to be accountable to everybody, and that ain't working. If I'm signed up for something, unless I'm half dead and can't get out of the bed, I better be here. You ain't said nothing. Why? God promotes faithfulness. Do you know what Scotty's first job was in the church? Most of y'all don't know. I don't even know if Sandy remembers. Blake's job. Oh, yeah. First job in the church. You know why he got that job? There was somebody already doing that job. We started going to church there, and we was there every service. And this was just over a period of, what was this, maybe a month, if that long? But we hadn't missed no church services. We didn't want to miss church service. Well, the guy that was doing it was unfaithful. So one unfaithful morning that he didn't come to church, they just walked over to Scotty and said, "Brother Scotty, would you do the slides?" Scotty, "Oh, yeah." He's always ready to do something. I mean, him, you better put the reins on, and me, you better get the whip out. And then God puts them two together. Something else. But anyway, that's why he got that job. Because of somebody else's unfaithfulness. Well, he started doing that, and he was faithful to do it. Well, then, if y'all hadn't noticed, Brother Brad always wants down there when he comes. He was the same way up there. He'd always want down there closer to us. He didn't like behind the pulpit. Well, they had a podium just like this one that sit over there in that corner, and we sit on the front row where they're sitting on this side. Well, every time Brother Brad would start the service, get up there, all of a sudden Scotty just jumped up like popcorn. Nobody told him to. He'd run over there and get that podium and put it out here for Brother Brad. Every service, he just started doing it. Just wanted to do it. God's watching. See, too many of us, we can't start there. Ooh, that just went like that. We can't start there. Why? I'm not being seen and recognized with my gifts. You ain't got none yet. Shut up.
Right.
I'm telling you, people now, I'm not talking about y'all, people nowadays, the majority of Christian people, they don't want to hear this. And it's a lot of the reason why we got so much problem in the body. Well, then he did that for a while. That was his first job doing that. And he kept doing that, and he'd run over there and get that thing, you know, and I'm sitting over there the whole time like, would you sit down? Just shut up. Don't say nothing. You know, all this stuff. Because I don't like people looking at me. You know, I don't want to be seen or nothing. Well, you know what his last job was when we left? He was spiritual advisor / counselor to his pastor. You can't get no higher office than that. Unless you're made like co-pastor or something like that. You know why he got that? It's not because he's smart. I can tell you. He ain't that smart in himself. He got that position over a period of time that his leadership was able to watch him grow and develop and see the fruit. And God is faithful, and God promotes faithfulness. But see, when you do all this moving from church to church, who are you responsible to? How do we know if you're at church or not? How are we seeing any fruit coming out of you when we see you twice a week, Christmas and Easter? I mean, twice a year, Christmas and Easter. We can't see no fruit coming out of you. And listen, and the Bible says, don't make our jobs hard. 1 Peter, right? Congregation should be making leadership. I'm not talking about just here. Don't be a thorn in my side every time I come to church, because you're going to get on my nerves. And then we're going to have a problem. And I don't think, I mean, if we do, y'all go appeal to Brother Brad. I don't think that we keep our thumb on y'all all the time. I don't think we're trying to run y'all's lives outside of here all the time. I mean, I had to bring a little correction here a while back, you know, about unfaithfulness or whatever, and it was the last thing I wanted to do. I don't do well with one-on-one confrontation. Why? Because I have to work on not getting mad. But I had to do it. You know why? Because just like you are the authority at your house, we are the authority here, and then there's delegated authority under us. And the more we grow and the more we develop and the more people we'll get, there'll have to be more delegated authority. Just like this. We want to raise up ministers in this house to where when there's another church over here, they say, we can call Brother Scotty. He's got ministers in his house. They're faithful.
Amen.
They hear from God. That's just like this. When Scotty had that heart attack, A leader has to learn to deal with their mess and everybody else's. When Scotty had that heart attack from his hospital room before he ever got sent to Birmingham, I'm on the phone with April asking can Monty do Sunday school. Why? This is my top priority. Now, my husband is too. He's being taken care of. And what was it? On a Thursday? I'm trying to make plans for a Sunday. Why? Because I've got the responsibility of all of y'all. And sad to say, when I had COVID, I asked somebody, I'm telling you, I hurt so bad. And yeah, it's contagious. I can't come to church. I got to quarantine. You know, even if I didn't feel bad, to protect all of y'all according to what they say. I asked somebody to do Sunday school for me for one Sunday. You know what they told me? No. Can't do it. Got too much stuff going on in my own life. Are you serious? I'm about to die over here, and because you've been arguing with your husband and wife all week, you can't do it. Listen, I argue with Scotty before I get here sometimes, and I still do it.
Amen.
Don't tell me you can't be anointed to do it.
Amen.
It's sad that we got people been saved 30, 40, 50 years, and you ask them to do one service, and they can't. You're not a leader. I don't care how long you've been saved. You are not a leader. A leader deals with their own crap that they go through and everybody else's at the same time and are more concerned about everybody else than they are self. And I've got to stop because we're actually a couple minutes over. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share?